You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Over Nerds podcast. What is up? I am your host, Meridon, back from a two-week hiatus. I had the chance to go out to Arizona and visit my family and catch some owl games, which was awesome. We're going to go over those owl games here shortly. After the owl games, we'll go over stage four in its entirety and the scores. Talk a little bit, some little LA Valiant news here concerning their coach. Then we'll hop into my stage one, week five picks, rounding out the stage here, getting ready for stage playoffs. And then we'll go for power rankings. Pretty straightforward show. First, I haven't been here for a little bit. The reason I haven't been here for a little bit was because I had the opportunity to take a week and a half and visit my family out west. It was some nice, well-needed time off from just stressors in general. It was nice to get away from Philly and go see a familiar place, but get a change of setting. Everything was great. Visiting my family was awesome. I love visiting them. I love seeing them. And on top of it, to cap off the trip on Thursday, March 7th, I was out in Burbank, California to catch my boys, the Philadelphia Fusion, live. Got to see the Atlanta Reign versus the Gladiators, LA Valiant versus Philly. And I caught the first game of Defiant versus Chengdu. I gotta say, those Overwatch League nights, they're long nights. It's kind of hard for me. Like, by the time that the Defiant and the Hunters were up and the emotional roller coaster that Philly displayed and induced on the hearts of all Fusion fans, I really had like about one game in, or one match in, I should say, and I was done. I watched the first map, Ilios, of Defiant Hunters, and then I end up leaving the arena. But it was nice. We actually got a hotel down the street. Me and my father went out and just walked right down to the arena. They gave us the wristbands, so I got the wristband last year. It just said inaugural season on there, Overwatch League inaugural season. This year it was a LA Valiant bracelet. I gave the guy some crap at the door that put it on my hand. He's like, "All right, now you're gonna go ahead and put the other hand in there," like he was trying to cuff me, and he was just joking. But yeah, they had an LA Valiant. I had an LA Valiant wristband and my Philadelphia Fusion Neptuno jersey on. It looked a little weird. Went in. Also bought some merchandise. I think I do. This is only the second year I've been out there. It's the second year that it's been going on. I got myself a pretty cool Fusion shirt and Fusion decal. And yeah, I had myself a great time. The game was a little insane. Watching the Gladiators kick Atlanta Reign's ass was also really interesting to watch. And it was nice to see the Toronto Defiant and Chengdu Hunters also on stage there. But that's really about it. There were probably about... I was sitting on the floor. I'm Twitch famous now, too, by the way. I'll have to put that clip in there. I was on Twitch a few times. There were probably about... On the floor, I feel like there were maybe 10 Fusion fans. One of them was a cosplayer. Followed her on the podcast Twitter. She had a sign saying that she traveled 2,000-plus miles to come see her Fusion from Philadelphia. So represent. That was cool. Also saw, I believe his name is Fox. I can't remember. I'm going to have to get it. I'll have to correct that on episode notes. But I saw the one guy there. He's the black guy that's always there with the Fusion flag and the Fusion stuff. And he's got some of the Fusion pride stuff. It was cool to see that guy in person because you always see him on Twitch. That's pretty neat. And, yeah, I got to see my Fusion get a win there, barely. It was the first time I've watched the Fusion actually win. went to the grand finals. Obviously, that didn't work out. And I was there last year when they played the NYXL and dropped the match 3-1. But with that, we'll go into stage four. We'll talk about some of these matches here. Starting off with the Atlanta Reign versus the LA Gladiators on Thursday, March 7th, when I was out there. It was really one of the other things that was really awesome was we had both LA teams playing, and that was one of the reasons why the Philadelphia Fusion fans were like such a minority in the arena itself. The Gladiators fans were all in the section that the Fusion fans were sitting on, as the Fusion were going to play on stage kind of in front of us on the right side of the arena. I had a guy in front of me that had a marquee light on his glasses saying "Shields up." It got pretty loud, pretty hyped, and they won 4-0 against a pretty good Atlanta Reign team. So we're seeing that the Gladiators kind of look like they're in last year's Gladiators form, which was really interesting to watch. I've been waiting for the Gladiators to kind of wake up a little bit. They've been playing pretty mediocre, so it was nice to see them take the 4-0 victory versus the Atlanta Reign. The Philadelphia Fusion won 3-2 against the still winless LA Valiant. They went the distance. It went all the way to map 3 of Busan too. Like one of my new least favorite maps. I don't like Busan. It's another one of those maps like Hanamura where I love the aesthetic of the map, but actually playing the map sucks in my opinion. I hate it. But they went the distance and they pulled out the win. Game one was dominated by Philly. Game two was dominated by the Valiant. Game three went right back to Fusion and dominated by the Fusion. They definitely induced a heart attack there. That was tough to watch, but they did pull out the win 3-2. In the last game of the night, and again, I caught the first round there, the Toronto Defiant beat the Chengdu Hunters. It's cool to see these two new teams on stage. What I thought was great about the Atlanta Reign is the second that Dufresne came out, the crowd cheered and he loved it too. It's pretty great. That team is turning into a bunch of trolls. It's pretty funny, especially Dogman. Friday, March 8th, we had the Paris Eternal versus the Vancouver Titans, and the Vancouver Titans at this point are. They're up there with the NYXL on the unstoppable list. They 4-0'd the Paris Eternal. And there was actually only one more game that night, and that was the NYXL versus the San Francisco Shock, which the NYXL swept them 4-0. NYXL right now on another freaking level. 4-0ing San Francisco Shock, which I have, which I had higher in the power rankings. And you'll learn a little bit later. I still have them up there. Still have them a little high on the San Francisco Shock. Saturday, March 9th, started with the Dallas Fuel Shanghai Dragons rematch from the week before. Really picked Shanghai to win this one. I've been actually making picks on Twitter. You can check that out. I'm going to start kind of posting my picks on Twitter each week. Kind of make that social media a little bit more active because I know I've been slacking on it. But I picked Shanghai to win. Dallas Fuel won 4-0. The LA Valiant lost their second game of the week to go completely defeated this stage. 2-1 to the Houston Outlaws. The Dynasty versus the Washington Justice were next, with the Seoul Dynasty winning 3-1. The Gladiators kept their momentum up and beat the Charge 3-1. And the Toronto Defiant 3-0'd the Spark. Finally, on Sunday, March 10th, the Paris Eternal fell to the San Francisco Shock 3-1. And in a shocker, the Shanghai Dragons beat the London Spitfire 3-2. I know the London Spitfire have been slumping. I was not expecting the Shanghai Dragons to beat the London Spitfire. So I was really happy to see that. Sorry, Spitfire fans. The game after that was the Boston Uprising 4-0ing the Florida Mayhem. Florida Mayhem still at the bottom. They're not looking good. Boston, one of those teams, you'll find out later. They're silently hanging out. And the last game is the Titans taking it over the Chengdu Hunters 3-2. And that was that would round out the Stage 1 Week 4 games. One big piece of information that came out on March 11th, that was 2 days ago on Monday, is that the LA Valiant have parted ways with their coach Moon. They said in a statement, quote, "We want to thank Coach Moon for his contributions to the Pacific Division and Stage 4 championships achieved by the team in 2018, said LA Valiant manager Michael Schwartz. We wish him the best in the next stage of his career. Assistant coach Mike Packington Ciclani, he kind of has an interesting name, Ciclani, will act as interim head coach until a permanent replacement is named. Worsey Stoop Waris, what a name, and Dong Su Shin will continue their roles as assistant coaches." So the Valiant making some changes after their very poor Stage 1 finish. They look terrible. If Goat's composition has affected anyone more, it was the LA Valiant by far this stage. They went 0-7 with a map differential of -9. Actually, not the lowest map differential. That belonged to the Washington Justice and the Florida Mayhem at -11. But there needs to be some changes on that team, especially Goats is kicking their ass. I think a coaching change might be something good for them. Kind of change the dynamic of the team in the back end. Just maybe get somebody in there that maybe is better at coaching Goats, or better at maybe getting the players that aren't used to playing Goats in a better position. I'm not 100% sure. You know, I couldn't like pinpoint it saying, yes, that is the exact problem right there, because I don't think that's it. I mean, I just think that the players are very demoralized by playing Goats and taken out of their comfort zone by playing this strong Goats comp that everyone loves. But yeah, so they do part ways with Moon. So let's see if that makes a difference here in Stage 2. I know a lot of the Valiant fans are really looking forward to that stage for some redemption, because Valiant last year, if you remember, made the playoffs. And like that statement said, they were the Stage 4 champions. So ending in an 0-7 Stage 1 is very shocking. Very shocking. For Week 5, Stage 1 Week 5, we have a short week. Games are only on Saturday and Sunday. There's 4 games each day, so they're going to be some pretty long days. First up on Saturday, March 16th, is the Justice versus the Paris Eternal. I pick the Paris Eternal over the Washington Justice. The second game is the London Spitfire versus the Seoul Dynasty. I have Seoul Dynasty picking that one up there against the struggling London Spitfires. Or, I'm sorry, Spitfire. I always want to put an S on the end of Spitfire. The fourth game is the Dallas Fuel versus the Boston Uprising. I actually have the Fuel beating the Uprising here. The silent Uprising being wrecked by the Dallas Fuel. I don't know if I say wrecked. It's probably going to be pretty close. But I picked Dallas Fuel there. And the last game of Saturday is the Atlanta Reign versus the Chengdu Hunters, with myself picking the Atlanta Reign. Sunday, March 17th, Philadelphia Fusion versus the Paris Eternal. I have the Fusion beating the Paris Eternal. Paris Eternal still haven't really proven much to me. Philly is also playing really sloppy, especially Sato. He needs to stop overextending. If the Fusion lost that game against Valiant, I would have pinned it almost solely on Sato. He is way too aggressive, and he's really good on Winston, but his Ryan play is, in my opinion, not the best. The second game is the Washington Justice versus the Florida Mayhem, a matchup between the bottom feeders. I see Florida winning that one. I see the Justice going 0-7 as well in this stage. The third game is the Atlanta Reign versus the Houston Outlaws. I have the Atlanta Reign winning that one. And the last game is the Charge versus the Titans. Now, the Charge are barely hanging on to a playoff spot. If the playoffs started now and everything was set in stone, it would be number one, New York Excelsior. Number two, Vancouver Titans. Number three, Toronto Defiant. Number four, Philadelphia Fusion. Number five, Dallas Fuel. Number six, Atlanta Reign. Number seven, San Francisco Shock. And number eight, Guangzhou Charge. But we still have at number nine, Boston Uprising, 3-3 with a map differential of two. The Charge are 3-3 with a map differential of +3. So they're hanging on for dear life. Soul's hanging on for dear life. And the Houston Outlaws are really on the outside looking in. Their chances aren't too good. Same with the London Spitfire. But that's how it would look if they started up today. So, on to my power rankings. Number one, this one's pretty obvious. It's the NYXL. They're just completely unstoppable. They clinched a playoff spot 2 weeks ago. They ended the stage one portion of the schedule 7-0 with a map differential of +16. 22 map wins, 6 map losses, and 1 tie. The second place team is the Vancouver Titans. They are currently at 6-0-6 with a +14 map differential, 20 map wins, 6 map losses, 0 ties. They remain the only other unbeaten team other than the NYXL. And right now I'd love to see a Titans-NYXL showdown. Yeah, they look pretty spectacular. The Defiant are up on up next at number 3. I actually had them at number 13 previously, so these power rankings are 2 weeks old. This was from episode 30, so I guess they're a little out of whack here. But I still wanted to do the power rankings anyway. I definitely had my doubts just because their players came from O2 Arden, and you've heard me say that several times. Pretty lackluster contenders team. But they definitely have proven me wrong, and they're coming in pretty strong. They actually have the third spot on the standings. 16 map wins, 11 map losses, 2 ties, map ties, with a +5 differential, map differential. They are 5-2 so far in stage one. Number 4 on the power rankings is the Philadelphia Fusion. Like I said, the Fusion were lucky that they played against. They were lucky they played against the Valiant last week. They look like garbage. Sato needs to get his tanking together and learn not to overextend so much. So I have them at number 4. They dropped down 3 spots. They are actually number 4 in the standings as well. Philly is 4-2, with 14 map wins, 11 map losses, and 1 map tie, with a +3 map differential. Number 5 is the Atlanta Reign. They definitely struggled against the Gladiators team that I was pretty much expecting. I posted on Twitter that these are the kind of teams that I was expecting at the start of the season, with teams like Atlanta Reign being okay, and the Gladiators returning to their form from last year. I'm a little off, but I mean, the way that they played, that's how it looked. Dufresne is amazing. Everyone, I'm pretty sure, is watched the Lucio Zarya grab on Hollywood over the roof. If you haven't yet, you need to see it. I'll link that in the description. I think it's worth it just in case you haven't seen that play. It's pretty spectacular. Dogman is also funny, yelling that people were feeding on the stage out to the crowd. They're turning into kind of a troll team, which I actually was thinking they were going to be in the beginning, because they had a lot of questionable players with Dufresne and his history and his goofiness, and a few of the other players like Naylor and Gator, who have been banned from games in the past. So I kind of figure this would be a team of shenanigans, and it kind of looks like it's becoming that. They're definitely becoming a fan favorite too, and Dufresne's growing on me a little bit. I kind of hated on Dufresne a little bit, but He's growing on me. He's definitely a goof. Currently, the Atlanta Reign sit 6th place on the standings, 3 wins, 2 losses. They have 13 map wins, 8 map losses, and a +5 map differential. I have the Shock in my power rankings at number 6. I'm not giving up on this team. They did get 4-0'd by the NYXL. NYXL is on another level, but I'm not giving up on this team. I'm keeping them at number six. I'm keeping them in the top 10. They've dropped 3 positions from the last power rankings. They currently sit 7th on the in the standings. They are 4 wins, 3 losses, 17 map wins, 12 map losses, 0 map ties with a +5 map differential. The Dallas Fuel are next on my power rankings in the 7th spot, moving up 4 spots from the previous power rankings. While they do show the promise behind Jane, I still feel like I need to see more of the Fuel. I've been fiending for watching some Taimu. I know they have a pretty decent team right now. They actually sit 5th in the standings at 4-2 with 13 map wins, 12 map losses, 0 map ties, and a +1 map differential. I'm still not like completely sold on them yet. I don't know what to think. 4-2 is pretty good. They're in, like I said, the 5th spot in the playoffs. So we'll see what comes out of them. Number 8 is the Dynasty. Like the Shock, I see the talent on the team, and I can't give up on them yet. They currently sit outside of the playoff cutoff, but they're still in the hunt. They're in 10th place. 3 wins, 3 losses, 13 map wins, 11 map losses, +2 map differential. Number 9 is the Guangzhou Charge. They are the team that is on the bubble there. They are 8th place and sitting in the last spot in the playoffs. They are 3 map wins, 3 wins, 3 losses, 15 map wins, 12 map losses, and a +3 differential. My man Hotba leads another team that I'm kind of, I personally need to see more of. I need to watch them more to give them like a better assessment. They're pretty inconsistent though. They sweep teams like Dallas, but then get handled by the Titans, and their first loss was against the Hunters, who are pretty mediocre at best. So I have them sitting in the 9th spot. That's actually up 6 from where I had them before. Number 10, the London Spitfire. I kept them up top in the power rankings for as long as I could, but they deserve to move down. I really was thinking that they would come back to life. I really think that the GOATS meta has also done a number on them, kind of taking Bird Ring and Prophet off of those amazing DPS spots that they play and relegate them to either playing Brig or Zarya. They also lost to the Dragons last week. So I have them in the number 10 spot, moving down 6. Currently, London sits in 12th place in the standings, 3 wins, 3 losses, 12 map wins, 13 map losses, and 1 map tie with a -1 map differential. Number 11 is the Boston Uprising. Like I was saying, they've been silently hanging out. They lost. They gave the Shanghai Dragons their first win. They're actually on the cusp and at number 9 for a playoff spot. They're right there. They beat teams like the Dynasty 3-1, had hard-fought games against an okay Houston team. I have them at 11, up 2 positions from last time. They have 3 map wins, 3 map losses, 3 wins, 3 losses, 13 map wins, 11 map losses, 1 map tie, and a +2 map differential. Number 12, the Gladiators. Even though they're out of the Stage 1 playoffs officially, and they are in the 13th spot, this team showed that they can return back to the powerhouse that they were last year, beating a good Shock team and a good Rain team as well. I do have them dropping because I had them a little high during week 2. I had to have them dropping 6 points, but I think the best of Gladiators is to come. They are 3-4 this stage with 14 map wins, 13 map losses, 2 map ties, and a +1 map differential. Number 13 is the Spark, another one of the league favorites, I think mainly for their colors and their cool looking logo. And yeah, they are pretty cool looking. I do dig the cotton candy, pink and baby blue. They still, in my opinion, hang a little bit below the halfway point in the standings. That's why I have them at 13. They're actually 14th in the standings, 3-4, 12 map wins, 16 map losses, 1 map tie, and a minus 4 differential. Definitely will be keeping my eye out on them a little bit more. See how they do. Number 14, the Outlaws. Still not sold on the Outlaws. They are in the 11th spot in the standings. They have a lot of familiar faces, but I feel like their performance is kind of blah. It's kind of mediocre. And the standings dictate that in pretty much at the halfway point in the standings. Houston is 3-3 with 12 map wins, 13 map losses, 1 map tie, and a minus 1 map differential. Coming in at number 15 is the Paris Eternal. This is a team that I'm kind of waiting for them to wake up. I feel like this team has a lot more potential than what they've shown us. They currently sit at the 16th position at 2-3, 6 map wins, 13 map losses, 1 map tie, and a minus 7 map differential. I have them actually down 8 spots from the last one, so from the last power rankings. So that's pretty high. Number 16, the Shanghai Dragons. Huge win over the Spitfire. It helps definitely move them up. This is a team that I was expecting to be a little bit better. If you remember, I had them in the 10 spot before the season started, thinking that they were going to be a better team. And they definitely are a better team than last year. They're still near the bottom of my power rankings, but don't take your eye off them yet. I think there's definitely more to come with the Shanghai Dragons. Pretty glad they beat the Spitfire. It was nice to see them beat a team where there's act like we know that there was skill there, and a lot of very good skill there, and that was definitely nice to see. So they move up 3 spots in the 16 position. They are 15th in the standings, 3 wins, 4 losses, 13 map wins, 17 map losses, 0 map ties with a minus 4 map differential. Next are the Chengdu Hunters, rounding out the teams that I need to see more of. I got to watch that first match again, like I said, at AL on March 7th against the Toronto Defiant. They looked okay. It was nice seeing them on stage. I dig the yellow. I kind of saw this team as a bottom feeder going in with a questionable roster, but I want them to prove me wrong. I want the Hunters to definitely prove me wrong. I actually have them dropping down 3 positions from where I had them before. They are in the 17th spot in the standings. 2 wins, 4 losses. 9 map wins, 18 map losses, 0 map ties with a minus 9 map differential. Number 18. If you open up a dictionary today and look up the term lackluster, there will be a photo of the Florida Mayhem logo. I actually have them moving up 2 spots, surprisingly, from the last time. They currently sit in the 18th spot in the standings out of 20 with 1 win, unfortunately, against the freaking Fusion. 5 losses, 7 map wins, 18 map losses, 1 map tie at a minus 11 map differential. Number 19, the boys from DC, the Justice. They need to get something going. They have some good names in Otto, Giannis. I've heard him called like 4 different things. Whatever you want to call him. I call him Giannis. And Corey. But nothing's good to came out of the team yet. So let's see how they do in stage 2. I don't really have any hope for them winning this last week here. They are currently 0-5. One of only 2 teams to not win a game. They have 5 map wins, 16 map losses, and a minus 7 map differential. And finally, in the 20th spot, the struggles continue. And Kareev said it best when he tweeted their loss against the Outlaws. GG at Outlaws. Goats, please die. At 0-7, 10 map wins, 19 map losses, 2 map ties, and a minus 9 differential. I know they will definitely be happy when Goats dies. That is the other team other than the London Spitfire that have been greatly affected by the GOATS meta. And that's really going to do it there. Few plugs I wanted to throw out here. MightyLions.org, that's the Overwatch League, or Overwatch, I wish I was on the Overwatch League team, holy shit. An Overwatch team that I'm a part of. Did my placements with some of our members yesterday, had a pretty good time. Check them out, MightyLions.org. Fill out an application when we're recruiting. You can jump in and play with us. And even if we're not recruiting, you're always welcome to play Pugs. Pugs are on Thursday nights. We have a lot of fun with that group there. Also, shout out to the Geekscape Network for hosting our podcast on there, geekscape.net. Find your next geek-oriented podcast and geek-oriented articles there today, geekscape.net. Now for some social media plugs. You can find myself at The McGaming on Twitter or twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming. Again, taking a little break with school here from the whole streaming thing, but that will start back up in the summertime. You can find The Overnerds at The Overnerds on Twitter, facebook.com/TheOvernerds. Definitely tweet at us, comment on our Facebook posts. I know I need to be a little bit up more on the social media posting, but definitely shout out to us. If you have any questions, definitely want to do a listener question portion. Send your questions to theovernerds@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at @the_overnerds. If you were a huge fan of our intro, which I am, I freaking love it. I still love it. It doesn't get old. It's great. It pumps you up. Check out Max Brown on SoundCloud. His link will be in the description for his profile. Other than that, that's all I had today, guys. Thank you so much for joining me on episode 31. And we'll see how these playoffs pan out after this week. After this week, we do have the playoffs. They have their own set week with 8 teams looking to compete for that $200,000 prize. All right, guys. See you next week. Bye.
Mr. Perry?
Voyager being the material, wine is the vehicle, just like milk for your cereal.
Here we go, blast into the Delta Quadrant, uncharted territory, but we're on it.
So pour me another glass of Cabernet, cause it pairs well with zipping across the galaxy. Never in my life was a crew so brave.
Never was a time that I lacked rosé.
But you learn something new each and every day.
To explore new things is a Starfleet way.
Podcast hailing from the Geekscape Nation, talking Star Trek with the wine persuasion.
So you wanna live long and prosper fine, then you better tune in to Seven of Wine.
And this is Seven of Wine, where we review an episode of Star Trek Voyager and a bottle of wine at the same time.